The story is told about a senior pastor, a pastor that was in his 80s, and he's walking down the street of his hometown with his younger associate pastor, a man in his 20s, late 20s. And as they walk down the street, out in front of them, out of the door of one of the places, establishments, comes this beautiful young lady. A young, beautiful lady dressed very seductively. And here's the pastor and his associate walking out, and she turned and she walked toward them. She came up to them and kind of slithered by. And the younger pastor turned to the senior pastor and said, "Oh my, I can't wait till I'm of the age that things like that don't bother me." And the senior pastor said, "Yeah, me too." The famous preacher, Clarence McCartney, said these words about temptation. He said, "Temptation flows like a river through the life of men. Old races die out, new races are born, new powers are thought out, new devices invented, and through each generation of men, there flows the river of temptation. How long has temptation been here? How old is it? How unchanging is it? It is as new as birth. It is as old as death. It touches the life of the philosopher and the fool, the sage and the savage, the prince and the pauper, the Judas and the Christ. Wherever man has gone, temptation has gone. It's man's shadow haunting him wherever he goes and wherever he appears. It is the warfare from which there is no discharge. Temptation." I'm going to tell you something, and I know this is true. Every one of us here that are here today, every one of us this last week have faced temptations. Not temptation, temptations. Those temptations may have been subtle temptations to entertain a little evil or unkind thought. Maybe we were tempted to gossip. Gossip. Or say an unkind word about a brother or a sister or a family member or a coworker or the pastor. Maybe it was a subtle temptation to envy. Or pride. Or Mike, as you talked about, covetousness. Like wanting a fishing reel. Real bad. He was talking about that in his Sunday school class. Maybe there was some covetousness. Maybe you sat down at your computer this last week. You weren't thinking of anything bad. And you turned it on. Oh, there it was. And it was a click away. Or maybe you were driving down the road, not thinking of anything, and there it was on the billboard. And you were tempted. Maybe you were tempted at your place of work. Maybe you were tempted in your home. Maybe you'd be tempted in church. Does that ever happen? Oh, yes, it does. Tempted, temptation. We can't get away from it. Temptations are encountered everywhere. It's a part of living in this world. And just as you were tempted last week, guess what? This week's coming up, you're going to be tempted again. It's just where we live. You know, I told one of my sons, they said, "What are you going to preach on tomorrow, Dad?" And I said, "Temptation." He said, "Oh boy, that'll apply to everybody." I said, "You're right. That's right." How can we Encounter temptations and overcome temptation. That's what we want to look at today in God's Word. Take your Bibles, open them up to 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 1 Corinthians chapter 13. 10, 13, 10. Oh, now you are tempted to think that I'm getting older. Don't think that. 1 Corinthians 10. And in 1 Corinthians 10, if I remember correctly, the first 12 verses, you remember Paul gave them a history lesson? And he said, you know what? He took them back to the Old Testament. And he said, you know those people, the people, God's people in the Old Testament, they were a blessed people. God blessed them. And yet, even though they were so blessed, that didn't keep them from coming into temptation. And actually, they met temptation and they fell in the wilderness. And they lost the rewards that God wanted to bless them with. And he said, you know what, folks? These things, he told the Corinthians, but he tells us today, these things were written for our admonition, for our instruction. God wants us to learn something. Somebody said, learn from other people's mistakes because you'll never live long enough to commit them yourself. So we need to learn from this, Paul says. He says, you know, they encountered temptations. And don't think you ever come to a point where you can't be tempted. He says, let him who thinks he stand, what? Take heed lest he fall. You see, we never get above that temptation. Now, he told these Corinthians, listen, all these people were blessed and they all fell into temptation and they all messed up. But lest you get discouraged and think, well, boy, if they messed up, maybe I'll just mess up too. Paul gives them 1 Corinthians 10:13, a wonderful verse about temptation. He states there, look at 10:13, and I'm only going to preach on one verse today. But don't be tempted to think that it won't be a longer enough sermon. Because there's so much in this verse. He says, no temptation has taken you but such as is common to man. But the Lord is faithful and will not suffer or allow you to be tempted beyond that which you are able, but will, with the temptation also, make or provide a way of escape. What a wonderful verse. Christian, what a wonderful verse that is. You say amen. It is. I need that verse. We're going to need that verse this week. I'll guarantee it. You'll need this verse. Well, here in this verse, how are we to overcome temptation? How can you overcome temptation in your Christian life? We need to know and apply and live out four truths from this verse. And let me share these with you. And let's get a hold of this verse today. First of all, number one, the commonness of temptation. He says, begins, no temptation has overtaken or taken you but such as is common to man. There it is. Temptation is our common lot. It's our common lot. Every person experiences temptation. It does touch every life. The prince, the pauper, the sage, the savage, the philosopher, the fool, the Judas in the crowd. Everyone experiences temptation. It's our common lot. Temptation comes from three different sources, right? And we know them. The world, the flesh, and the devil. The world is our environmental, external source of temptation. We live in a fallen world. Amen? Amen. You don't believe it? Watch nightly news. We live in a fallen world. And yet the world allures us. The stuff of the world tends to try to grab our heart and pull us away from God. You remember when Satan tempted Jesus. You remember one of the temptations, he took him to a high mountain. And in a vision, he showed Jesus the kingdoms of the world and the glory thereof. All the stuff. And he says, see all that, Jesus? I'll give it to you. He's still saying that today. Yeah. I'll give it. give it to you. All you got to do, little curtsy, little bow, and it's yours. The temptation of the world. And the things of the world, the things in the magazines that we look through and say, oh, I need that. Does that sound like somebody that in our Sunday school class? I need that. It tends to steal our heart away. It tempts us. That's why in 1 John chapter 2, he says, love not the world, neither the things in the world. He that loves the world, the love of the Father is not in him. For all that is in the world, the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, the pride of life, not of the Father, it's of the world. And I'll tell you what, every commercial on television is trying to steal our heart away. Oh, yeah. You need this, Lexus. You need this. If you don't have this, you're nothing. Every billboard, every advertisement, the world tries to steal away our heart. The temptations come from the world. But there's another source of temptation, that's the flesh. And every one of us has a fallen flesh, a fallen nature, a sin nature. James puts it this way. In James chapter 1, he says that each one is tempted when he is carried away and enticed by his own lust. See, there's an inner temptation that comes to every one of us, every one of us. That's why you can't escape temptation. I remember reading about a man who was so, he felt he was so tempted. He decided he was going to move away from society and he was going to escape temptation. And he went up on a high mountain. He was going to get away from it all. He was going to live in a cave. And he said, you know, there was one problem, that when he went into the cave, temptation went in right with him. He carried it right in with him. Because we get tempted from our own fallen nature inside. That's our internal source of temptation. And then there's the third source, and that is Satan. Satan tempts us, and his angels or his demons. Folks, this is real. This is not imaginary. This is what Scripture tells us. We have an enemy of our souls. He, in fact, one of his names is the Tempter. And he is out to ruin your life, ruin your marriage, ruin your home. He's out to kill, steal, and destroy. And he brings temptations our way. He's the Tempter. He is, we have an external temptation, the world. We have an internal temptation, the flesh. And we have an infernal temptation. And that is Satan himself. Satan himself tempts us. Some of you have read C.S. Lewis's book, The Screwtape Letters. If you've not read that book, it's a great book to read. Because in that book, and it's fictional, but it pictures a senior devil writing letters to a junior demon on how to tempt and ruin the life of Christians. And I'm going to tell you, no, it is fictional, but I'll tell you, I think it's based on biblical truth, that we have an enemy that's out to tempt us, and he'll tell us, this is good, this is going to make your life better, you're going to feel good, and he'll tell us all these things to get us to sin and to break our fellowship with God. Temptation is the warfare from which there is no discharge. Now, before I go on, let me just say this. I want to make this clear. Temptation to sin is not sin. Right. Amen? Amen? We know that because Jesus was tempted and yet without sin. Yeah. So temptation to sin is not sin. You can't help being tempted. Martin, and you can't help that first look when that woman walks out of that establishment. Can't help that first look. but you can help the second look and the third look and the fourth look. Martin Luther put it this way. He said, I can't stop birds from flying over my head, but I can stop them from nesting in my hair. Temptation to sin is not sin. Temptation is the common lot of man. And let me say that every temptation that we experience is common. It's common. There are no unique temptations. This is important that we realize that. If you are experiencing some temptation right now, I'm going to guarantee you, somebody else in this church is too. Just that same temptation. Or have gone through that same kind of temptation. And probably a million times over. He says, no temptation has taken you, but such as is common. It's a common lot of man, but even the temptations themselves that we experience are all common. We all go through them. Now, why is that important that we know this? Because it's important to know this because Satan will come to you and tell you that your temptation is unique. Nobody has ever been tempted like you're being tempted. And no one, if you would share what you're being tempted with somebody else, they would be shocked. You better not share with anybody. You better kind of hold it inside, and he isolates us. That's what he wants to do. He wants to isolate you in your temptation. But I have news. They're common. 1 Peter chapter 5, verses 7 and 8 say this. Be sober. Be on the alert. Your adversary, the devil, is roaming around looking for someone to devour. Like a roaring lion. Like a roaring lion looking for someone to devour. Resist him. Firm in your faith. Now, 2:18, it says, for since he was tempted in all that he suffered, he is able to come to the aid of all those who are tempted. Christ was tempted, and he is able to come, and he will come. All we have to do, Jesus, just call his name. Just call the name of Jesus, and he'll be there. He'll be there. He'll help you. How do you know, Pastor? He's faithful. Yes. I know he will. Now, if we don't call, well, we're going to have to deal with it ourselves. But all you got to do, Jesus, he'll be there. Yes. He will come to the aid of those who are being tempted. He's faithful to strengthen and protect us. 2 Thessalonians 3:3, but God is faithful and he will strengthen and protect you from the evil one. He is faithful to all his promises. Oh, and this is good. 2 Corinthians chapter 1, it says, God is faithful. And then it says, all of the promises of God in him, in Christ, are yes. Wherefore also through him is our amen to the glory of God through us. Did you hear that? What that means is what? God's faithful. If God says something, he's going to do it. And all his promises are yes. In other words, if I'm going through something, all I need to do is claim the promise of God. And when I claim that promise, God will fulfill his promise. And then you know what I'm going to say? Amen. Amen. That's what that verse says. Wherefore through us is the amen. We say amen, God. Thank you, God. You help me. And you know what that means? That means he's faithful to his promises when we're tempted. We got to know the promises. We got to know and claim his promises when we go through temptation. And when we do that, he will keep his promise. Ultimate promise keeper. But we've got to claim the promise. So we want to know that the commonness of temptation, we're all going to go through them this week. This week. The faithfulness of God, he'll be there. A number of years ago, I went to the Far East. And one of the places I went to was Vietnam. I'd scheduled to go to Vietnam with a group of other Christians. We were going to go out and do street evangelism. Right before I left for the Far East, this group of Christians decided they weren't going. So I went, and I went into Ho Chi Minh City, Old Saigon. And I went there, and I said, well, you know what? I was scheduled to come here to go out and share Christ. And I had a bunch of tracts. I was told, don't give out tracts, you'll get arrested. I said, well, then I'll share Christ in prison, you know? And so when I got there, I got to my hotel, got settled, and I went to the marketplace. I wasn't in the marketplace 10 minutes before young women started coming up. And pimps started coming up. And soliciting and the whole thing. 12,000 miles away. No other Christians. And a voice came, no one will ever know. What do you do? This woman came up to me. She was a pimp. And she was, you know, come on here. And I took out my wallet and I said, this is my wife. Here's my four boys. She said, oh, no. Here, you take this girl. You take this. I said, no, I didn't come here for that. I came here to tell you about Jesus Christ. She looked at me and she said, are you sick? And I said, no, I'm saved. And I've come here to tell you about Jesus. And I'll tell you what, it wasn't that I was so faithful, but God was faithful. And God was there in that marketplace in Vietnam. And you know what? Satan will say, no one will ever know. Lie. You'll know. And God will know. And I thank God that he gives the strength and protection against the evil one. Amen. We got to remember, it's common. You don't have to go to Vietnam to find it. You just have to live in this world and you'll be tempted. But God is faithful. And thirdly, he gives us a promise, the promise of God for temptation. God gives us a special promise to claim. He says, who will not allow us or suffer us to be tempted beyond that which you are able? In other words, God will not allow a temptation which will overcome you and you can't resist it with his help. He'll never allow you to go past that point where you can't resist. The Message version says, he will never let you be pushed past your limit. Folks, every one of us has a limit. Every one of us has a yield point. You know, every metal, I don't care, you can get the hardest metal in the world. Every metal has a yield point. Yes. And if stressed and pushed beyond that yield point, it will buckle, it will crack, it will break. Yes. Every Christian has a yield point. But God says, listen, I'm going to give you a promise. I'll never let you go beyond that yield point. There's a story told of back during the Civil War. There were unscrupulous businessmen who would try to smuggle, and they would smuggle cotton from the South up to the North and sell it at extreme, extravagant prices. And one day, one of these unscrupulous, and that was, of course, the union didn't want them to do that, and it was against the law of the land to do that. But one of these unscrupulous businessmen came to a Mississippi steamboat captain and he said, I want you to smuggle some cotton up north. I will give you $100 if you will smuggle this cotton up north. And the steamboat captain said, well, you know, that's illegal. That's wrong. I want you to know that. We're not supposed to do that. He said, I'll give you $300. He said, no, I'm not doing it. I'll give you $1,000. No, I'm not doing it. I'll give you $3,000. At that point, the captain drew his pistol and said, get off my boat. You're getting too near my price. And I'm going to tell you, folks, we all have a price. We all have a yield point. That if we would be tempted just above that yield point, you know what? We have feet of clay. Oh, yeah. You can say amen, because we do. And if we would go beyond that point, we would fall. But the good news is God knows your yield point. And he promises, I'm never going to let you get beyond that yield point where you and I can't resist that temptation. That's good news.
Amen?
Amen? That's good news. And you know what that says? That says we can never make an excuse and say the devil made me do it. He can't make you do anything. Did you know that? He can't make you do it. He can tempt you. But he can't make you sin. I can't ever get to the point where I say, oh Lord, the temptation was too great. I just had to yield to it. No, you didn't, Les. No, you didn't. The promise is there. The promise, I will never let you get to that point. Praise God. God's promise that we will never be tempted beyond the point where we can say no to that temptation. You know what we need to do? When Satan comes and tempts us, when we are tempted, we need to resist him and we need to pull our pistol and say, get off my boat. Get off my boat. And you know, when we resist the devil, what does he do? He flees from us. He has to. He has to. We have that authority. And we have a promise from God. You're going to need to know that. This week, you're going to need to know that. You have a promise. You won't be tempted beyond what you're able to resist. Praise God. Number four, for the provision of God for temptation. Not only is there a promise, there's a provision. He says, but will the temptation also provide a way of escape that you may be able to endure it? Now, I thought about this, and you know, God does allow us to be tempted. God does allow us to go through temptations. He allows us. In fact, the Spirit of God led Jesus out into the wilderness to be tempted. He allows temptations to come our way, but he allows us to be tempted to strengthen us. So as we resist those temptations, we grow, and we grow in our dependence on God, and we become stronger. That's what God wants. But when he allows us to go through temptation, he always provides a way to escape. And when I thought of that, I thought back in the Old Testament, probably the greatest example of it. But I think we need to always go back to this. A 17-year-old teenager by the name of Joseph is taken, sold into slavery in Egypt. He's there. He has been mistreated. He's in slavery. But the Lord was with Joseph. Sally, the presence of Jehovah was with him. And his master saw, God's with him. I think I'll put him in charge over my whole household. I'm not thinking anything. I'm going to commit all my household to Joseph. And he did. And one day, Mrs. Potiphar looked on this young man and said, wow, I want him. And she comes to Joseph and says, come to bed with me. Now, you just think about Joseph. He's been mistreated. He's there. He said, you know, I don't have any, I'm a slave. I don't have any other pleasures, you know. You know, when in Egypt, do as the Egyptians do. You know, I'm young, I'm virile, I have all this energy. But he looks at her and he says, you know, my master has put me in charge of everything. He's put everything under my charge. He's not withheld anything except you. And how could I do such a great sin and sin against the Lord by going to bed with you? And he resisted. But you know what? One thing that makes temptation hard, it was continual. She kept at it, kept at it, kept at it. And one day when Joseph goes in to do his duties, do his work inside the house, there she is. Oh, I can picture it in my mind. The seduction. The strange woman of Proverbs. There she is. And now she grabs him and says, go to bed with me. No one will ever know. My husband's gone. No one will ever know. Come on. And I'm going to tell you, Joseph didn't stop and pull out of four spiritual laws and start witnessing to her. He didn't pull out a systematic theology book and tell, let me tell you about God. The Bible says, you know, what did he say? He fled. There was a door, or if there wasn't, he made one. He fled out of the house. He took the way of escape. There was a way of escape. You know, a lot of times Satan will tell us, you know what? The only way out is to give in. It's a lie. There's no way out of this. It's a lie. God provided a way of escape. Now, let me just say something. A lot of times when we take the way of escape, I shouldn't say a lot of times, but sometimes, things might not get better. Things might get hard. Joseph got put in jail for 13 years because he did the right thing. But I'm going to tell you what he had. The Lord was with Joseph. Amen. Sally, the Lord was with him in jail. The presence of God. And then you know what happened after that. Joseph didn't know this was all going to happen. How he gets put to the second position in all over all the land of Egypt. He was blessed of the Lord because he took the way of escape. And I'm going to tell you, folks, when we're tempted, the temptation, you know, the only way out, give in. That's what Satan will say. But we need to flee from that temptation. And I'll tell you, we will be glad if we do. Amen? Amen. Now, I'm going to close with just five quick steps to overcome temptation. You're going to have them this week. How do we overcome them? How do we live victoriously? Number one, watch and pray. Watch and pray. Matthew 26:41, Jesus said, watch and pray that you enter not into temptation. For the spirit is indeed willing, but the flesh is weak. Watch and pray. Keep watching. Be aware, they're going to come. You're going to turn on that that computer. They're going to come. Watch. Pray. What do we pray? Lord, lead us not into temptation. Don't lead me into temptation, Lord. Help me, Lord. Pray. Watch and pray. Secondly, hide God's word in your heart. Hide God's word in your heart. Psalm 119, verse 11. Thy word have I hidden in my heart that I might not sin against thee. Hide God's word. Here's your assignment. Here's your assignment. Now, I'm gonna try to remember to ask you next week if you do this assignment. I want everybody to get a 3x5 card. And on one side, I want you to put 1 Corinthians 10:13, write out the verse and memorize it. I can't memorize, Pastor. That's a lie. You can too memorize. 1 Corinthians 10:13. On the back, I want you to put another verse. And that verse, I want you to put a verse that deals with the area where you are most tempted. Is it lust? Oh, there's a lot of verses in that, in Scripture. I mean, Job made a covenant with his eyes, didn't he, Mike? I heard that in Sunday school. It talks about, don't look on a woman to lust after her. That's adultery in the heart. You can put, if it's gossip, let no unwholesome word proceed out of your mouth, but only such a word that's good for edification according to the need of the moment that may give grace to those who hear. There's other shorter ones too that you can memorize. But what I want you to do, on the back of the 1 Corinthians 10:13, put that verse and memorize it. I'll tell you, when Jesus was tempted three times, he said what? It is written. And he used Scripture. And if we're going to overcome temptation, you've got to have some Scripture. That's only two verses. Can you do that? Come on, somebody go like this. Yeah, yes, Pastor, I can do that. Do it. Do it. Watch and pray. Hide God's word in your heart. Three, get accountable. Get accountable. Get an accountability partner. James 5:16 says, confess your sins one to another. Pray for each other. The fervent, effectual prayer of a righteous man availeth much. Confess your sins one to another. Pray for one another that you may be healed. You know, we talked about that in men's fellowship yesterday. Powerful time that we need to be accountable. Now, to someone, would you keep me accountable in this area? Help me in this. Pray for me. Get accountable. Number four, avoid temptation. What? I thought you just told us we can't avoid temptation. Well, you can avoid some temptations, right? You can. Put this down, Romans 13:14. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ and make no opportunities for the flesh with regard to its lust. You know, we pray, Lord, lead me not into temptation. I can get there myself. No. You know, we put ourselves sometimes into temptation. Avoid temptation where you can. Amen. Do you have a problem with that computer? Then avoid that temptation. Give your wife, have her have the password, and only be on the computer when your wife is there. Or if that doesn't work, or if you don't have a wife, get rid of your computer. You can do that. If you have a temptation when you turn on your smartphone, get rid of it. Get a dumb phone. That's right. Get a dumb phone. If you have temptation when you are at the supermarket and there's the sweets aisle, the candy aisle, and you have a temptation with that, don't go down that aisle. Oh, Pastor. Just avoid it. You know, I know you have to get desserts for in case you get have company. No. Avoid it. Wherever you have temptation, do what you can. Put on the Lord Jesus Christ. Make no opportunity for the flesh with regard to its lusts. Avoid temptation where possible. And then five, when temptation comes, look for and take God's way of escape. Look for it. It's there. There's a way. There's a way. There's a way. Be a Joseph. Not a David. Be a Joseph. You say, it might cost me something. You know, the temptation is at where I work, Pastor, and I have to work with this person all the time. Quit your job. Oh, how can you say that? You want your job? You want to lose your family? I'm going to tell you. But it will cost too much. you'll be blessed. Amen. You'll be blessed. Be a Joseph. I know these are hard things. But you know what? God has given us this great verse. No temptation has overtaken you, but such is his common to man. But God is what? Faithful. And he will not suffer us, allow us to be tempted beyond that which we're able. There's a promise. But will with the temptation also provide a way of escape that we may be able to bear it. Let's be Josephs. Lord, we just bow before you. Thank you, God, for this wonderful verse of scripture. Thank you that you are faithful to us. Help us to walk in the power of your Holy Spirit this week. Help us to remember these truths. And Lord, and as we are tempted, help us to turn away. Help us to put on you, Jesus. And help us to walk in the power and the victory that you have won for us. Lord, bless us that we might be a blessing. In Jesus' name, amen.